Janae and Golic Jr., the podcast.
From outlets in the stadium to outlets for frustration, we're not that far into NFL training camp, and already you got multiple franchises throwing up their hands, asking, what the hell, man? Chinay and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, Sirius XM Channel 80, and ESPN Plus. We're presented by Progressive Insurance, and guests are going to join us on the Goodyear Hotline, and we got plenty of them coming down the line today. We've got NBA free agency kicking off later today. We have got Mike Wells, our ESPN Colts reporter, who's going to stop by and try and make sense of what's now become the NFL news of the day, because in case anyone missed it, didn't hear it in the SportsCenter update, or anywhere else where you consume NFL news at this point, Carson Wentz, the Indianapolis Colts starting quarterback, former starting quarterback, had surgery on an injured left foot this afternoon and will now be sidelined anywhere between 5 to 12 weeks for the Colts. Now, this is significant on a number of fronts here because you've got Indianapolis, who is already looking at this situation, gambling on another one-year lease, more than likely, with an aging veteran quarterback. This one and Nick Foles supposed to be a reclamation project for Frank Reich and company, trying to get back the best version of him that we saw in Philadelphia. And then you've got Eagles fans. Poor Eagles fans who are also trying to digest the fact that their first-round draft pick, Devonta Smith, the wide receiver out of Alabama, down with a knee injury, a knee sprain that could keep him sidelined for a couple of weeks here, and having to deal with the fact that as a result of this injury to Carson Wentz, again, 5 to 12 weeks, broad range of time here. We'll talk about how the timeline affects what they do next in just a second. But if you're looking for all the ramifications of this, because obviously dire news, less than ideal for the Indianapolis Colts, for the Philadelphia Eagles, what happens here? Because remember, they got a conditional second-round pick for Carson Wentz that would become a first if Carson Wentz played 75% of the offensive snaps this year for the Colts, or 70% and the Colts made the playoffs. If he misses 12 weeks, that's 7 games into the regular season, which means you are not getting to that point. So Philadelphia fans already got to be in their feelings. Cliff, our intrepid producer, is down on the TV side today, so we will not be able to hear his pain, but I think I can speak for him in the city of Philadelphia that all of today has been a tremendously bad jaunt for these guys. It has been tremendously bad. So we've got that on one side for the Philadelphia Eagles. We can get to more of their pain in a little bit. But right now, it's time for Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. What we've got here for the Colts is an interesting crossroads. Now, 5 to 12 weeks, and you heard Frank Reich talking to reporters saying that this is not the kind of surgery that you need to be 100% pain-free from on the back end. So this can be about pain tolerance for Carson Wentz, who, after I believe they remove a bone from the fifth metatarsal, so in his foot, this is something that apparently had been going on for a while with him. This can be about what his pain tolerance is like coming back from this. And so as we look at what do the Colts do from here, I think this is going to be decided post-surgery. Once he gets into the rehab, all right, what does this look like? Because if you can count on him being earlier in that window, then you look at the current depth chart for the Indianapolis Colts. You've got Sam Ehlinger, Jalen Morton, and Brett Hundley, a recent signing there. And then you've got Jacob Eason, their 2024th round pick, who we will talk to, ESPN NFL analyst Mina Kimes, later in the show, who also spends more time than most people should watching the Washington Huskies out there in Pac-12 after dark during the Jacob Eason time, where we got a chance to see that howitzer of an arm he has. So we'll see just what Colts fans can expect here, because Frank Reich said right now, Jacob, this is your team. And if it's going to be early in that window, if it's going to be between 5 and 7 weeks, something in that range here, I'm inclined to say, man, you ride it out with the kid. Let him go, because fourth round pick, again, we've talked about it on this show, Chinay and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio. If you're drafted in the fourth round, you're drafted to eventually take somebody's job. Now, quarterback can be a little bit different, but again, in general, any of my buddies that I've had playing, when they get a fourth rounder drafted at their position, I'm sending them a text like, hey, you good? Everything all right? Checking in on their mentals. So that's going to be one side of this, because I think in that early window, you ride it out there. You trust in Jacob Eason. You trust in all that structure that's been the sell for the Colts to begin with in all of this. What happens if the outline and the timeline looks longer? That's where we get into the real sicko stuff here. Because Bart Scott, co-host of Bart and Han here on ESPN Radio, was on Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin earlier this morning, talked about one of the other potential options for the Colts should this be a little bit longer term. Nick Foles. Straight Talk Wireless, no contract, no compromise. Carson Wentz even hearing this out loud has to be somewhere puking into a trash can. Like, this has already been the worst case scenario for a guy that's been trying to get off the injury bug, has only played two full seasons in his NFL career, and is now staring this down again, which has to be tremendously frustrating on a human level. But then the quarterback that was basically the foil for everything you stood for in Philadelphia, the one that was constantly sitting over your shoulder after that Super Bowl win. And I got to tell you, Nick Foles is not helping tamper down any of the expectations here. Saw Andrew Siciliano tweet a quote from Nick Foles, who is currently the third string quarterback for the Chicago Bears. Nick Foles said, listen, Frank Reich is one of my favorite people, if not favorite coaches of all time. I haven't had any talks with them. I'm a Chicago Bear right now, but he knows me. He goes on to say that Carson Wentz is their QB and Wentz will get healthy. Foles says that there were trade talks with other teams this offseason and then said, quote, the version of right now is the version of me that is much better than the one that played in the Super Bowl. Like, guys, this is a thirst trap from Nick Foles. He very desperately wants to go be the quarterback for the Indianapolis Colts. And again, it's hard to blame him. Like, we saw the battering ram that offensive line is, the way Jonathan Taylor gelled by the end of that season, the four-headed monster, and that's before we get to the entire other side of the ball, the defense, that balled out in the way it did last year. And I know there's always the fine line we flirt between doing what's best for your team, meaning would Nick Foles signing him be the best decision football-wise for this team? All of it's relative to price, because I could argue Marcus Mariota sitting in Las Vegas with the Raiders right now, probably one of the better backup quarterbacks for your buck that you could get here, but does Vegas necessarily want to give up a backup quarterback of that quality? Because that's why we're in this situation to begin with, right? Jacoby Brissett, who was the safety blanket in Indianapolis for a long time, no longer there. This is why backup quarterback is such a value position in the NFL. That's why we've seen teams for a while now spending on that position, spending draft capital on that position. So you don't find yourself in a situation like this, which quite frankly, Eagles should have had a little bit more foresight with a guy with Carson Wentz's injury history coming in to be your number one. But in the position they're in now, would Nick Foles be a value add? Certainly, if you can get him at a lesser price than someone like Marcus Mariota. Now, keep in mind, free agent-wise, you've got Blake Bortles out there. You've got Robert Griffin III out there. You've got Gardner Minshew out there, who has a former quarterback coach who's in Indianapolis with Frank Reich. You got Jimmy G sitting out there in San Francisco. So you've got all these options swirling around that we can start to throw out into the ether. But at the end of the day, simplifying all of this, it's going to come down to, how quickly do we think that Carson Wentz can recover from this? Is it closer to the five-week side of that 5 to 12 weeks that he's going to miss after this foot surgery? Or is it going to go any longer than that? If it's short end, I think you ride it out with Jacob Eason. You let him go out there and start to get some valuable experience early, because eventually you're going to have to go in long-term on a quarterback around here if you're Indy. And outside of that, if it gets any further, yeah, you can have the Nick Foles conversation. If you want to fully commit to the idea that Carson Wentz is not going to be your long-term future and that you're comfortable blowing that up, because I don't know if you can bring that guy in the building at this point and Carson Wentz survive that. He did what he did to get out of Philly for a lot of reasons, but part of it was to escape all of that history that had built up there that Nick Foles was a pretty big part of. Coming up next, though, we will check in Indy to see what the temperature looks like. Again, according to Adam Schefter, it sounds like that surgery is taking place this afternoon. What are the Colts doing the immediacy to address this quarterback need? We'll get to it here, ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus.
Janae and Golic Jr., the podcast.
I believe our friends over in The Jump are in the middle of a five-hour NBA free agency special. We will tap into just a little bit of that coming up here in about 10 minutes, as I think the three biggest names in free agency are pretty well known, and I think it's going to leave one team and one fan base in particular sorely disappointed. It's Chinay Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. Mike Golic Jr. here with you guys. Chinay Wumake will also be back joining us at 5 o'clock Eastern today. ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. Progressive makes bundling easy and affordable. Get a multi-policy discount by combining your car, home, motorcycle, commercial auto, and more. All your protection right in one place. Bundle and save at progressive.com. But we know the big news of the day, Carson Wentz, surgery on an injured left foot coming up this afternoon, expected to miss 5 to 12 weeks. And for more on the Colts quarterback situation, we head to the Goodyear hotline to talk to ESPN Colts reporter Mike Wells. And Mike, I'd imagine this is a bit busier start to training camp than you and most people expected for Indy.
Well, the reality is, I hate to say it, but I'm used to this now. A quarterback dealing with the injuries in Indianapolis, it's funny. I just put a tweet out that Colts fans were very spoiled from 1998 to 2014 from Peyton Manning to the first couple of years of Andrew Luck's NFL career. Now it has been a nonstop circus of injuries when it comes to Colts quarterbacks between Luck and Jacoby Brissett was injured. The funny thing is only one of two quarterbacks who's played all 16 games since 2014, Andrew Luck in 2018 and Phillip Rivers, the old man last year. So I expect quarterback injuries to pop up. I'm more shocked if they don't happen at this point.
It's a fair point, and especially with Carson Wentz, who has only played two full NFL seasons. But, Mike, now for the Colts, what's the next step in the decision-making process here after I believe I saw he's going to have surgery this afternoon?
And that, you know, that's the most interesting thing. You made a great point. I mean, Carson Wentz has only played all 16 games two times in the first 5 years of his career. The Colts knew that. Frank Reich definitely knew that from his relationship with Wentz and Philly. And they let Jacoby Brissett walk in free agency during the offseason. And they have zero experience at the backup spot. I mean, they added Brett Hundley, who's played 16 games in his career since 2015. Jacob Eason, the second-year player out of the University of Washington, will get the first crack at starting if Wentz isn't back by the start of regular season. You know, Eason was on the roster last year, did not take a snap in the game. In fact, he barely had any reps with the scout team quarterback. So this is basically a rookie season for him. I say the one silver lining for Carson Wentz getting injured right now is that it happened less than a week in the training camp. And now Eason will get plenty of snaps with the first unit and the Colts will be able to see if he's able to be that week one starter if necessary.
Is there any thought, because we've seen the name floated out there, is Nick Foles a realistic option at all in this, or is this people just trying to get under Carson Wentz's skin?
I'm not shutting the door on it. As of now, they're going to go with Eason, and Frank Reich said right now Eason has started, but I am not shutting the door on Nick Foles. Think about it. The last two starting quarterbacks for the Colts had connections to Frank Reich. Phillip Rivers last year from their time with the Chargers, now Carson Wentz. And if Jacob Eason can't get the job done, it's clear that Foles is the number three quarterback in Chicago behind Andy Dalton and Justin Fields. So why not bring in a guy that you're familiar with? The one question mark is if they do bring Foles in, what does that do to Carson Wentz mentally to have Nick Foles once again stepping in his place and potentially leading the Colts to some victories?
Chenan Gold Jr. here on ESPN Radio talking to ESPN Colts reporter Mike Wells with us on the Goodyear Hotline. Mike, what's this do for the timeline for the Colts? It seems like they've kind of been comfortable, like you said, post-Luck, doing these series of 1 or 2 year trials on quarterbacks and counting on the structure around it. Like, how much longer are they going to be able to play this sort of round-robin style at quarterback with the rest of this team being able to buoy them?
Well, quite honestly, they hoped that Carson Wentz would stop the revolving door at quarterback. They thought bringing him in, he's still in his 20s, he's still young in his NFL career, that he could be their next franchise quarterback. They knew basically Phillip Rivers was a Band-Aid. Rivers was at the end of his career. He came in and did a great job in that 1 year, but they knew they had to find a long-term answer at quarterback, and the belief was that Carson Wentz would be that guy. Wentz may be that guy still, but nobody knows until he gets back, A, gets healthy, and B, shows that last season, when he got benched in Philadelphia, is a distant memory.
It's going to be very interesting to watch this unfold. No doubt the biggest story early on here in training camp for anything outside of COVID-19. Check him out at Mike Wells NFL on Twitter. Mike, we appreciate the time. I'm sure we'll be talking to you soon as we wait to see the next steps for Indy here.
Definitely. Hey, where's Shanae at?
Listen, we're still waiting for her to get back here. She got basketball practice. She was covering the draft, Mike. Like, she's big time, man. She comes over here whenever she can get back and get right.
Man, tell Shanae stop being so bougie and let's roll now.
I'm trying to tell her, man, it's training camp time. Like, it's two-a-day season here, so we're going to get her back here for the next time that you're on with us. All right, Mike?
All right. right. Y'all be good, and I'll talk to you guys later.
Awesome stuff. Again, check out Mike Wells, our ESPN Colts reporter, for all the updates as it pertains to Carson Wentz. Surgery on that injured left foot. I'm going to put him out anywhere between 5 to 12 weeks. Coming up next, though, as we look forward towards later this afternoon, again, the folks on The Jump are in the middle of a five-hour special for NBA free agency. So clearly, there's a lot of dominoes that are set to get falling this NBA offseason. We will tell you which one will start them all and which franchise is going to be disappointed by it. Next, you're on ESPN Radio. We'll do that after this word from Capital One. Now, everybody likes shopping online here, but searching for coupon codes kind of a bummer. So make a saving online a breeze with Capital One Shopping. Capital One Shopping is a free tool that's going to instantly search for available coupon codes and automatically applies them at checkout. It's that easy. No one likes getting there and have to remember that stuff. They're going to do the work for you. Just download the Capital One Shopping to your computer and let them do the work for you. So easy, and you don't even need a Capital One card to use it. Capital One Shopping. Kind of genius. What's in your wallet? Savings and available coupons may vary. Miami Heat Twitter, back in the mix next on ESPN Radio.
Janae and Golic Jr., the podcast.
College football Twitter did the thing again today. Starting weirdo rumors about conference realignment, people trying to get Clemson and Florida State caught up in things. Chene and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio. Mike Golic Jr. here with you guys. And that's not even, quite honestly, the most interesting thing that's happened in sports. We'll get to that in college sports in just a second here. As we've got a high school player making the jump early, name, image, and likeness starting to have some, I think, unforeseen consequences. We'll head to Ohio State in about 10 minutes here and explain some of the changes that could be coming after one high school player made a big-time decision on the future of his career. But right now, we got to get to some NBA free agency because we mentioned that's getting started this afternoon. We got a five-hour special going over on The Jump there. Rachel Nichols and company are going to need an IV at halftime at this rate. But this all seems to, and it's interesting, looking at this NBA offseason because there's a fair amount of players that are involved in all of this. Kawhi Leonard opting out of his player option there. Chris Paul doing the same thing in Phoenix right now. So you've got those two guys technically free agents, although it seems like, by all accounts, most people expect them to land back with their respective teams. Kawhi Leonard can get a little bit complicated. We'll get to that in just a minute. But by all accounts, our NBA people around here have told and said, and a couple of times written it on .com, that the dominoes in NBA free agency are pretty much all going to start with one guy, Kyle Lowry. Now, here was Bobby Marks, our ESPN NBA front office insider, talking earlier about why Lowry's decision and what happens from here is going to be the thing that starts this domino effect.
You look at the teams that need a point guard, either it be Miami, New Orleans, I guess we could put Dallas in that mix, certainly New York. His decision basically dictates what the other teams do, and if the likelihood of if Lowry does go to a team like Miami now, what happens with, you know, Lonzo Ball in New Orleans or Spencer Dinwiddie in Brooklyn? I think Mike Conley and Chris Paul will go back to their respective homes, but Lowry is the big domino to fall, and I think once that happens, it basically will just open up open up the floodgates as far as for some of these teams to go out and spend.
So we're waiting on Kyle Lowry, a 35-year-old guard, to make this decision. And by all accounts, it sounds like the Miami Heat are the front runners for this. According to Adrian Wojnarowski in an article up on ESPN.com, the expected course of action here would be for a sign-and-trade. The Miami Heat had picked up the $19 million player option on Goran Dragic, and would he be expected to send him and maybe Precious Achiuwa over to the over to the Toronto Raptors in exchange for Kyle Lowry in this situation? So this is interesting to me only because Miami Heat fans, this has got to be like an overwhelming disappointment, right? Like, this was supposed to be the offseason where you went out and landed Giannis when they were setting this up based on the way the Heat did contracts and kind of prioritized. The thought was he was going to make it to this point. Giannis certainly changed the trajectory of that when he signed long-term with the Bucks before last season. But then you went on down the list and you said, all right, well, from there, you know, Dame Lillard seems like a name that's less and less likely at this point in time. Kawhi Leonard might have been a name that you were calling up with. I know a lot of people have talked about the friendship that he's got with Jimmy Butler on that Miami Heat team already. But after Kawhi's got a partially torn ACL, what he's dealing with, is that really an investment anyone's comfortable making outside of Los Angeles at this point? So it gets you all the way down to Kyle Lowry, who I get is probably a little better than reputation gives him credit for, at least in the regular season. But with all of that as the background, like, this is the complete opposite of the life ethos that I got from one of my mentors in Stu Gotts. I mean, this is a clear overpromise and underdeliver situation by Pat Riley and the Miami Heat, who feel compelled to do something. And unfortunately, I look at this something, and even if Kyle Lowry can go out there and be a better defender than he gets credit for, and even if Kyle Lowry shooting a little bit above his averages this last season compared to his career, he's still a guy with a bad postseason reputation who, what, when you really look at this move, where is it moving them to? Maybe a fight for third in the East, depending on how much gets changed up with the 76ers? Like, this does not have you staring eye to eye with Milwaukee. It does not have you staring eye to eye with a healthy Brooklyn Nets team. And so this just feels like you got to this point where you had built yourself up to go and do the big thing, and now you've got to do anything that's left on the table here. For a guy who I believe is the same age as Goran Dragic, who's got at least a history with that team in a way that makes it complicated, because the other complicating factor in this, Chinnan Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio, Mike Golic Jr. with you guys, is Kawhi Leonard. Because I think when we looked at this, and I got asked on Highly Questionable earlier today, you've got Kawhi Leonard and Chris Paul both saying no to their player options here, going to go collect in free agency, largely we would expect by their same teams. What to do in that situation? Kawhi Leonard's interesting. Now, Adrian Wojnarowski, our ESPN NBA insider, was on with Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin this morning, talked about some of the possibilities for where Kawhi can go.
Well, I think the fact that Kawhi Leonard didn't extend his contract long-term off of that player option, financially, that would have been the move to make him more money. So it suggests that he might do something shorter-term if he stays with the Clippers. He could do a 1+1. Essentially, they pay for his rehab next year coming off that ACL. And obviously, he could look elsewhere if he'd like to. It doesn't seem like there's an obvious destination for him in terms of cap space, a team that is of contending status. The Clippers are proceeding. You know, you talk to teams that are dealing with them, agents who are dealing with them. You know, they're proceeding as though, you know, Kawhi Leonard will be out most of the season, if not all of it. You just don't know coming off an ACL.
That's the factor, because this is an ACL after we've already seen the Kawhi Leonard post-San Antonio Spurs having to manage very uncertain injuries the entire time, whether that was in Toronto where they did it successfully and got him to the postseason, or whether it's been in Los Angeles where they've struggled to find the secret recipe for that through these first two seasons. Bobby Marks, our ESPN front office insider, pointed out that the contract he could sign, if he did that 1+1 that Woj talked about, that would have him become a free agent in 2022, he'd then be eligible to sign a five-year, $235 million contract. So that's a lot of money for a player who's on the back nine of his career ability-wise. And that's certainly a lot of money for a team outside of Los Angeles. Like, I think there's a lot of Steve Ballmer-related reasons for why Los Angeles could make sure they keep him around here. They say, all right, we're in a city where we're already competing for second place here and struggling with that versus the Lakers across town who just signed Russell Westbrook. Are we really going to let one of the guys on the marquee walk for us, even if he's a bit lesser physically than what we've had before in all this? The reason I can't ever quite rule anything all the way out with Kawhi Leonard, though, why if you're asking me who would be more likely to leave, Chris Paul or Kawhi Leonard, I'd always say Kawhi, goes to something I saw in a story by our own Ramona Shelburne, ESPN NBA reporter, did a great write-up on how Russell Westbrook's quest to get to the left coast is a couple of years in the making. Because remember a couple of summers ago, when we talked about the possibility of getting Kawhi Leonard to the Los Angeles Lakers? And what went on with LeBron James there? Well, apparently what had gone on is, while Russell Westbrook was still in Oklahoma City, Russell Westbrook, who's got family in Southern California, who's got young family now that he wants to get around his grandparents, the group and the base that he's got around there, went and called up Kawhi Leonard, said, hey, What do you think about me and you teaming up, going out to Los Angeles, doing this together? Which, according to Ramona Shelburne in this article, Kawhi Leonard then took and used to recruit Paul George, who was on Oklahoma City with Russell Westbrook. Like, that is some Waystar Royco-level collusion behind the scenes to try and go make and take whatever you want in that spot. All of this is to say that just because Kawhi Leonard is quiet doesn't mean that we should doubt anything that he's capable of. We do not know largely what motivates this guy. And so if I'm picking anyone to be a chaos agent in the middle of all this, it would be Kawhi. Again, do I think he's changing teams? No. I think the risk management on his side would be a lot better served to come back to the Clippers, a place that is incentivized, I think, to keep him around there and try and make this work with him and Paul George versus going to test this elsewhere right now, coming off of an injury and adding that to an already interesting history in that department. I think both of those guys end up staying put, especially Chris Paul, now that the Lakers have filled that guard spot with Russell Westbrook. But a long time ago, I stopped trying to predict what the hell Kawhi Leonard was going to do. We will wait and see more of the news that comes out again, the NBA trade deadline coming up this afternoon. Where will Kyle Lowry land? Does that domino start by him falling to the Miami Heat? We'll get to more of that in a little bit when Chinee Agbumike joins us back here on the show. But coming up next, one of the top high school players in the country is deciding to forego his senior season and head to Ohio State. We will tell you why that's happening and what the long-term ramifications of this could look like next here on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus.
Janae and Golic Jr., the podcast.
Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. We'll get to the most important NBA free agents as we head towards the start of free agency, 6 o'clock Eastern this afternoon, because no one's been doing anything before that, because that'd be tampering. No, no one buys that? All right, cool. Yeah, I didn't either. I just wanted to make sure you guys all knew that, too. We're all kind of there at this point. So we will get to that as Chinee Agbumike joins us at the top of the next hour, coming up in about 10 minutes here. But before we get to that, Chris, what do you got?
Do you want a sympathy rim shot for that?
Yes, please. You don't mind. I'd appreciate that. Normally, I think I would get the loser game show sound from Cliff or something like that, but I'd appreciate any help on that front.
There you go. I'm here for you.
Doing the Lord's work, Chris, as always. Greatly appreciated. So we will get to all of that. More bad jokes coming up in about 10 minutes here. But in the meantime, the world of college athletics is an interesting place right now. I saw Big 12 Commissioner Bob Boolsby was speaking today, having some hesitation on behalf of the non-SEC schools in college football about going forward with the currently proposed playoff expansion model. Because now all these schools are like, all right, you guys clearly were negotiating this, knowing something that the rest of us didn't know before Texas and Oklahoma declared their intent to head over to the SEC. And so now everyone else is feeling like they got. So we got that going on. We've got weirdo rumors flying around about Florida State and Clemson potentially joining the SEC, which, I want to be clear, are not by anyone that I trust. Eric McLean, former Clemson offensive lineman, great job at the ACC network for us, came out and said, via Clemson, this is not true. So we've got all this silly season stuff going on with college football, but then we had something quietly very impactful happen, and I'm not sure if it's going to show up on the field this fall, but a move made by a high school prospect might change the way that we operate at that level here. Let's get to that change in one and done.
So much to say.
Are you good? Like, do you need a minute to breathe? Do you need some water?
So little time.
I'm trying to balance a lot right now.
One and done.
So, one and done, we have high school quarterback, South Lake Carroll product in Dallas, Texas, Quinn Ewers, the number one quarterback in the 2022 class, put out a statement today. We had heard rumblings about this, but he put it on wax and made it legit that he's going to forego his senior season and join Ohio State, who starts their fall camp tomorrow. He's going to join them in part because in Texas high school athletics, the state law and the University Interscholastic League rules don't allow high school players to profit off of their name, image, and likeness. And we've seen this come up now where the NCAA, putting out this blanket waiver, basically washing their hands of it, and others did not rule out the possibility of high school players to be able to profit as well. And so what happens from here on out? There's a couple of tentacles to this. First off of, people are probably going to wonder, are we going to see more of this from high school players? Well, we already saw a couple of players try. A pair of four-star commits at Garland High School in Dallas both contemplated sitting out this upcoming season, according to their high school coach, to potentially pursue NIL deals. Ultimately decided that they weren't going to do that. But again, you look at this situation, wonder, all right, is this going to be a copycat thing? More than likely, probably not at a high level, at least as far as jumping to the next level at college, because that requires you to play a certain position, more than likely quarterback, be a certain caliber, incredibly elite, to be able to not only handle that jump, but to have that jump be something football-wise advantageous to you. So I don't think that's going to happen. I will be interested, because as we look around the landscape of high school athletics now, the one thing that's already been super common, lots of these players transferring to other high schools for different reasons, for different opportunities. Guys going to 2 and 3 high schools during their high school career. And if you look out, Illinois, Mississippi, and Texas are the only states that have specific language in their laws opposing high school players not being able to profit off their name, image, and likeness. And at this point, California is the only state that's given clear guidance that athletes can profit. Everyone else, operating in a lot of gray area. So I think we're going to learn about that in a way that, man, for Texas, a place that loves its high school football, something crazy. I would be shocked if this is a rule that didn't get a lot of public pressure against it sometime soon, because if not, what's to stop if these rules clear up in other places? More of these great high school quarterbacks going and saying, all right, I'll take my talent somewhere else in high school, even if it's not making the jump to college. Because we got to understand a couple of things about what's in this jump to college now for Quinn Ewers. It's Chinay Ngolick Jr. here on ESPN Radio. Because what goes into this is pretty wild. Quinn Ewers started getting offers to play college football when he was in middle school, which used to be a thing we reported on and now has become a little more common for some of these freak show talents. But as a result of that, he started scheduling his classes to graduate early. Like, he needs one more core English class to be able to graduate high school through 3 years. That's different. I don't know if you can do that everywhere. But on the other side of this,
how does that work? You're just good enough at sports that they realize that, oh, you can just leave school early.
Oh, man.
What, when you're 14, 13 years old?
Well, again, him being able to graduate at that time, which I don't know if everyone's going to be able to do everywhere. That's the difficult part of this for me. Is he had this long-term plan. Like, he was going to plan to early enroll in January of 2022 already. This just sped up the timeline for a little bit. But what he's jumping into is almost just as interesting. Look at the Ohio State quarterback room right now. 2025 star C.J. Stroud, 2024 star Jack Miller, 2021 five-star Kyle McCord, and now 2022 reclassified as 2021 five-star Quinn Ewers. Ohio State has signed as many composite five-star quarterbacks, meaning composite of all the different ranking sites out there. They've signed as many composite five-star quarterbacks in the class of 2021 as the rest of the Big Ten has combined since 2008. So if you're wondering why Michigan can't beat Ohio State, that's a large portion of the reason why. But this is interesting because C.J. Stroud's expected to be the guy this year. He was the winner at the Elite 11 camp, great showing there last year, beating out the likes of that million-dollar quarterback that we heard about at Alabama and Bryce Young. So he's supposed to be a dude. All I look at in this quarterback room, because I don't know if showing up Tuesday of the week that Ohio State starts training camp as a guy who's never even been on a college campus as a real student is going to lead to him playing this year. This is probably a redshirt or a grayshirt year for Quinn Ewers. But you know what this looks like to me? A quarterback room full of guys that, because of all the fun transfer rules that we've got now, could be playing for other teams very, very soon. Like, you don't have that many five stars. Now, 3 5 stars in a quarterback room that all are content to sit around there and wait for their 1 year to play. This is an early 2000s USC with Matt Leinart and bunch who are willing to sit around, play their 1 year, and then go to the NFL. These guys want to get on the field now. And so what this jettison of quarterbacks could look like from this room eventually, going to be very, very interesting for the rest of college football. It's why the transfer rules work great, but all of this is why we are just getting to the tip of the iceberg on what name, image, and likeness could not only mean at the college level, but at the high school level. Again, Quinn Ewers, number one quarterback prospect in 2022, skipping his senior season, trying to go cash in on some of that NIL money, enrolling at Ohio State as they get set for fall camp to start tomorrow. Now, that's going to be interesting. 888-729-3776 if you want to get a hold of us and talk that. But coming up next, NBA free agency gets going at 6 o'clock Eastern. Who's the most important free agent domino to fall? We'll tell you next here on ESPN Radio.
Thanks for listening to Chinay Ngolick Jr. Make sure to subscribe, rate, and review. You can hear the show live weekdays at 4 p.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio, ESPN News, and wherever you stream your audio.